And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I was just speaking briefly with Dave Thomason, who's here in the studio with me this morning, and we were talking about, I said, hey, Dave, do you know what the number one reason for somebody going before a judge and claiming disability in the year 2021? And, of course, he had it nailed. He already knew the answer to it, but it was anxiety. And so I kind of think to myself, there's all these people that for whatever reason, maybe circumstances of their life, maybe they have had health issues, they just have horrible amounts of anxiety, and that prevents them from functioning and living their life to the fullest. Well, part of me just wonders how many people would be listening to this radio program on a Saturday morning, and one of the things that they really deal with day in, day out that's a burden to them is they just can't quite get their brain to function the way that they want. And so if that means that they're tempted to take maybe a over-the-counter substance to help relieve their suffering, or they're looking for a nutritional supplement, which Dave was just telling me, hey, Dave, go ahead and say something so we can test the microphone.
Okay, yeah. Hey, okay, Doc, how you doing?
Oh, great, man. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
So that's mic number two. We just learned a new lesson today.
Oh, so we anyway, got turned down a little bit now.
Yeah. But thanks okay. so much for coming in here this morning.
Yeah, well,
and I know
for
this
having
is.
Me.
Oh, you're welcome, Dave. You've got a special place in your heart for helping people that are suffering with anything that might relate to a physical or an injury to the body, or especially the nervous system or the brain.
I do, and partly because I had to deal with it for a while. As you know, and probably some of your listeners that listened to us a little over 2 years ago when we did this, I was the veteran service officer in Cherokee County for 9.5 years, and I had to retire because of all the concussions I had. I had almost no memory left. I couldn't do my job, and so I had to retire. And it was bringing on a considerable amount of depression because, you know,
what does a man do when you go, man, my brain doesn't function the way
it
used to?
And of all the things that I've got going on, that was the one thing that scared me the most. So fortunately for me, a friend of mine sent me a text that had a little flyer on it. It's a seminar that a guy was doing up in Tyler. So I went, and I sat there through the seminar, and to me it was just one of those things that if it's too good to be true, it probably really is. So I sat there with my arms and legs crossed and listened to most of it, and it really didn't talk to me till I got close to the end of the discussion there, the seminar, and they started talking about a study that they did with a group of Marines. Now, some of you folks don't know, I am a Marine. I retired from the Marine Corps in 1993. So Marines have a kind of a special place in my heart. But it was a small study. It was only about 6 or 7 Marines, and they all had PTSD and TBI, the traumatic brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they took them over to the University of California in San Diego, and they did these two scans. One was a megaloencephalogram. It's a great big machine that maps the brain. And the other one
I'm just curious, what does that actually look like when they do a test like that? Does it come up on like an imaging device or a computer screen?
That one I don't know.
But they're trying to determine what's going on with this person's brain.
They were looking at the brain to see what all was going on. They also did a 3D MRI of the brain. And so what they could see in the brain were the hot spots where there was anxiety, depression, anger.
So those areas would light up when a person experienced tremendous anxiety or anger.
All those spots were lighting up hot because that's what these guys were dealing with, and that's what they always dealt with. You know,
mm-hmm.
For this one particular guy that they had a video of that I listened to, was a retired Marine Master Gunnery Sergeant, and for 5.5 years he'd been dealing with PTSD and the effects of the TBI. And so that's what they saw in his brain when they did the scans. They saw where the depression, the anxiety, anger, all those issues were. So they did a treatment on him. They took him back and they did the scans again. All those hot spots are starting to cool down. So we actually have image-based evidence showing that it does work. It's not.
Yeah,
just,
but in the real world, you could go up to him and say, hey, this is what your scan looked like before. All these areas related to anxiety and depression and anger, they're not as active as they used to be, but if you asked the gunny sergeant how he felt, what would he say then?
He said he felt better.
So he noticed that an immediate improvement.
The difference, exactly. And see, and
it's kind of hard to dispute that when somebody tells you, you know what, I don't understand the technology of how this stuff works. I just know I feel better emotionally and mentally.
And that's what I get a lot of. We actually, between session one and three, we have an 85% chance of somebody having a positive effect.
And you're talking about this treatment modality, this microcurrent that you're using to help people with issues related to the brain and the nervous system.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
So what was that? What was that number again? As far as the positive feedback you get between one and three treatments?
85%.
That's kind of. Do you ever argue with somebody when they say, "Dave, I'm a whole lot better than what I used to be"?
Yeah, no, I don't. I like that. That's one of those. That's one of those things that when you get done with somebody, and you're looking at them, and you can just see the changes in their face. You know, from being wrapped a little bit tight when they sit down in the chair, and then all of a sudden you see their shoulders drop and their face relax, and you're like,
so they might come into it with a little bit of a scowl on their face and holding tension.
They're just coming in wrapped kind of tight. You know, their anxiety levels are, you know, 8, 9, or 10. Their depression levels are up there as well. I'm doing some work at Camp V with veterans up there right now, and you're talking about anger. This one guy, anger issues skyrocket. I mean, he was high on the anger issue thing.
So he was probably a little bit challenging to be around before he'd blow his top, huh?
He would blow his top pretty quickly and easily, yeah.
Real short fuse.
And what was kind of neat was one of the other guys called me, introduced me to him, so I took him in, showed him everything, and we went ahead and did a session on him that day. And
tell me again, what is the name of the device?
It's called IASIS. IASIS.
And so when this guy sat down, did you have him sit down in a chair or lie down on a table or something like that?
You sit in a chair, because we have to get to different places on the scalp.
You're attaching superficial electrodes to
little, them? Leads from just your basic EEG box. The amount of power that we use is 3 picowatts, so 3 trillionths of a watt. So it's not enough power to penetrate the skull. So what we have to do is we use the neural pathways in the scalp to get to the brain.
Okay.
So really the hardest part of it is just, you know, cleaning off little spots on the scalp so that we can, you know, clean the oil off the skin, put a little conductive paste on there, and then get the electrodes hooked up and get going. That's actually the longest part of it.
So applying the electrodes or the leads, that's your way to tap into how can we positively affect the brain by applying this, what'd you say, 3 trillionth of a watt?
3 trillionth of a watt.
I can't count that high.
You know, and this goes back, Doc, to one of the things that you know, I've been hearing you say for a long time, and I like it because I use this with people all the time at the store, and that is God designed an amazing thing when he created the human body.
Mm-hmm.
It can heal. Up until about maybe 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, they didn't believe that the brain could heal itself. Because, I mean, look what happens with all these people that have concussions. Their concussions just mount on top of each other every time you have.
And there's almost no
concussion.
Options to deal with people like that.
There weren't at that time. There
right.
were no options.
Well, there weren't 35 years ago.
Yeah, no. And so that's why, you know, so many of these people, you know, in football and, you know, contact sports, boxing, martial arts, whatever, you know, as they get into their later years, they start having so much trouble with dementia.
How about just the average person that gets in a car wreck or something like that?
Yeah,
it's still going to be an injury.
That as well. And those injuries, again, you know, if they don't get healed, you know, they're just going to continue to grow. And if you ever get hit in the head again, and it doesn't take a hard hit to cause some form of brain damage. You know, even just, you know, jumping off the wall onto the ground can jar the brain enough that it causes a little bit of brain damage.
Well, if somebody started having issues with how they would respond and interact with other people, and maybe they responded in anger since we brought that up, you would start going, okay, this is not normal for that person. They've never been this angry. What happened to them? And they go, oh, yeah, they fell backwards and hit their head on the concrete 3 months ago. Why is that not resolved? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just it, you know, and that's the really good thing about this, Doc, is that, you know, we could take those guys that are suffering from those kinds of issues, and we can take them in and we can help them out. I've got this guy, this particular guy up at Camp V. I've got him out 3 weeks between sessions right now. I'm about to move him out to a month. He's getting pretty close to being ready.
Now,
to
was
be
this
trial.
The gentleman that you told me about that was having anger issues?
Mm-hmm.
When they'd do like the MRI and they'd show parts of the brain lighting up.
Yeah, his would have been really hot.
Oh yeah, yeah. If they did that test on him, his would have lit up to those centers of the brain that regulate anger.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And but he's calm now. It's funny because he'll come in and he'll sit down and talk to me and he'll start telling me, Dave, he says, I was out playing golf over the weekend. He says, it was all good. I didn't get
And so he'll be yet. Smiling as he's telling this story?
Yeah, he was just happy.
So he's not wound
time.
Up all tight anymore like
he's
he used
not.
To be?
He's doing great and he's sleeping better. His whole attitude has changed. And all the people around him are just amazed at what's going on with him. They're saying, like, what happened to you?
I would imagine, Dave, that he has immense gratitude for the healing that's taking place.
He does. And he's one of those that just about every time he comes by, you know, it's like, man.
Dave, you know how you said a while ago, God designed the body. It's incredible. It's actually magnificent. And I guess in our minds we're supposed to look back and go, look at how amazing God's creation is. But on the flip side of the coin, you can ask yourself the question, If the body and the brain are designed to heal following an injury, which injuries are just part of life, it's inevitable. You don't really plan on them if somebody trips and falls, but is the body designed to hold on to negativity and anger or bitterness or anxiety or depression?
Yeah, no, it's really not.
I don't think so either.
Because
it
causes some pretty big problems with the human body.
Which, Dave, can I interrupt your talk just for a brief second? This last Sunday afternoon, I came across this study that I was reading, and what they did was they looked at 690,000 people that had been hospitalized with the COVID or the COVID SARS-2. And so they're in the hospital, they're in a bad way, and so these researchers are saying, we're going to see if we can find any correlation why some people have to go to the hospital and they get sick with COVID and some don't. And the number one thing on the list was high blood pressure problems. And I kind of thought to myself, well, why would that be the case? Well, number one, when you have high blood pressure, most likely, as in nearly 100% of the time, there's this low-grade inflammation lining the arteries. And I think just about all studies are showing when the COVID attacks, it goes after the inner lining of your arteries. But you know what number two on the list was? They said that the number two reason why people would be hospitalized or correlation would be having very high levels of negativity and fear and worry and stress, but anxiety was on the top of the list. So what happens to the body when you live in this
live your
ocean
life in that state?
And Dave, you know as well as I do, there are people that live with anxiety every single day.
There are. And in fact, you know, if you kind of step back and look at folks with PTSD, for example, well, you know what the fight or flight response is, right?
Oh, yeah, you're so terrified.
And for that split second, and the brain processes this information before you ever even realize it. And so you don't realize that there's a threat there, but your brain has already processed something that says there's a threat there. All of a sudden, boom, you get this dump of hormones into your bloodstream, and adrenaline obviously being one of the big ones there. And so your heart rate shoots up, everything starts going in, and you're ready to either run or fight or do whatever. And then everything calms back down when you realize that, okay, there's no real threat now.
You mean everything's supposed to go back down to the baseline where you're relaxed?
Exactly, supposed to. So
once the threat's over, you're supposed to say, hey, that was a close call, but I'm okay.
Yeah, but when you take a lot of these guys that have PTSD and you take into consideration that for days and weeks and months on end, they have been at that heightened level.
Years on end. Without end.
Right. And so they're always spinning. Their body is always dumping all those hormones.
So this is their normal now.
It is their normal.
This is all they know. I wake up in the morning, I feel nervous, I feel jittery. Something's like, I have this impending cloud of doom.
I feel angry. Yeah, all those things. And so the body is not designed to be absorbing all those hormones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I mean, isn't that basically devastating to every cell in your body, not just the brain?
It is, and it causes a lot of damage. I mean, you know, obesity, diabetes, those are just a couple of things, you know. Strokes and heart attacks, you know, when you're in a constant state of anxiety, that's a lot of pressure on the heart.
I think even without realizing it, all those people in that study that had the COVID that were hospitalized, if you've got high blood pressure, most likely there's some underlying stressor on your body.
No doubt. No doubt. In fact, if you know, one of the groups of people right now that are really having a lot of problems with anxiety issues, or with, I guess, probably depression, but, you know, with having problems with focusing on their job. I mean, look at the healthcare industry right now. You know, the doctors and the nurses that are dealing with all of this, you know,
they're literally just pushed to the limit.
They are. And, you know, some of them are short staffed, some of them, you know, I don't know, but they're working, you know, long hours. They're working around people that are, you know, extremely sick. And so that's one of the groups of folks that we've been able to kind of help out a little bit with some of this, with what we're doing, is bringing those anxiety levels down, bringing those stress levels back down, and bringing their focus kind of back to where they need to be.
We do not need all our nurses and therapists and doctors stressed so much they can't do their job, because when you're stressed like that, you can't think of the best things to come up with when somebody's sick.
Well, it's kind of hard to.
It's nearly impossible when you're experiencing high levels of anxiety.
Well, and what happens when your high levels of stress or anxiety, your heart rate shoots up, right?
Dave, I remember reading years ago about all these dead soldiers that they could find during World War I, during the trench warfare and such. And they had no shrapnel wounds, there was no bullet holes, they hadn't been stabbed through with a bayonet, no bomb blew up near them. But they died all because of high levels of anxiety and stress. They had like massive adrenaline.
Well, when the heart rate shoots up, you know, like that, I think it's once the heart rate gets up to about 160, I believe is where it is, your processing doesn't stay in the front of the brain anymore. It kind of gravitates to the back. So you're not processing, you're not thinking anymore. And that's instead of fight or flight, that's kind of what I just call it, the fetal position. You know,
you're frozen.
You just freeze up. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, not a good place to be there. So, we've got to get all that calm back down. We've got to get that hypothalamus to slow down and quit dumping, you know, all those hormones into the body. And so that's one of the things that we are able to do is get everything calmed down, get the body to quit dumping, you know, what is it, 40 or 50 different hormones in, or the brain is dumping all those hormones into the body, and the body's not designed for that.
Can you think of one client that's been to see you that's experienced, you know, the very thing that you're talking about? They just continually feel like they're on the edge of exploding.
Yeah, well, this one guy that was dealing with anger issues, he was, you know, one of the big ones, you know, recently. But I tell you, I've had all kinds of guys. I've had a number of them. I told everybody about the two guys that I helped in Longview a couple of years ago now.
Were they soldiers?
One of them was Army. One of them was a Navy corpsman with a Marine Corps unit. So we call him a Devil Doc.
I bet you he saw some bad stuff, didn't he?
He did.
He
got hit with an IED, lost his index finger and the entire knuckle on his right hand. But, his depression and anxiety levels were through the roof. And for a lot of these folks that are like that, and I was talking to a guy the other day up at Camp V, kind of in the same position, they don't want to be around people, so they isolate.
And so they go out of their way to avoid contact with normal human beings, right?
They go out of their way to avoid contact with even abnormal human beings. But
so,
yeah, with everybody, they don't want to be around people because they don't trust people. They don't trust anybody anymore.
But that's the PTSD talking, isn't it?
It is.
Oh man,
it is. And this one guy, Doc, I think it was around session number five or six, I think. 5 or 6, anyway.
You're talking about 6 individual treatments or sessions, right?
Right.
Okay.
And he came in, he said, "Hey, Dave, guess what I did today?" I said, "What'd you do, Doc?" He says, "I applied for a job."
Oh, does that mean he had been without a job for a while?
He had been without a job for over 10 years.
Dave, do you realize how hard that is to get somebody to go back to work after they've been out of employment? That is an amazing transformation.
But that and that was somebody that wanted to work but couldn't stand to be around people. Now,
well, 6 months earlier, he would have seen no way through this, right?
No.
Like, how's this going
to
work?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. No, there was no way for him to see an end to it. And that's the way it is for so many of these guys. There is no end to it out there for them. They've got what they've got, and they're just going to have to deal with it for the rest of their lives.
So this tool that you have, this is potentially a great therapy to help these people who are suffering with PTSD.
It is. You know, going back to the body being able to heal, when the brain is given what it needs, it can heal. And we can do this without harmful drugs.
So this microcurrent that you apply to the points on the scalp, this applies a current of electricity that courses through the brain,
mm-hmm.
and then somehow or another that's able to change from an abnormal pattern back to a normal or more or ideal.
What we're doing, kind of in a nutshell, what we're doing is, when the brain's not firing correctly, and that's whether it's from a physical injury like a concussion or some kind of a traumatic brain injury, or even an emotional trauma. You know, the brain doesn't
know
the
difference. Sometimes I think emotional traumas might actually be worse than physical trauma.
They can be at least as bad.
Because if you ask the person, would you rather be, hit in the head hard with a soccer ball, or would you rather deal with this emotional trauma that you've been going through for the last 4 years?
Yeah, they'd take the soccer ball.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
They'll say, "I'll take a concussion over that brutal stuff."
Yeah, and it is brutal. But, that's either one of those kinds of things gets the brain functioning in a way that's not working right. And so what this does, it very gently retrains the brain on how to fire correctly. It's kind of like doing a reboot on the computer, only we're rebooting the brain.
How many people need to be rebooted here in America?
Yeah, well, I know in the state of Texas, I saw something a couple of days ago. It was like in excess of 3.3 million people are dealing with mental health issues strictly in the state of Texas.
Dave, when they have a stat like that that says 3.3 million people, I mean, that's a huge number, isn't it?
That is a lot of people.
I mean, that seems so. There's a lot of people out there that are really suffering and really struggling with these issues.
There are.
Now, to be classified as a mental health issue, does that mean that they're kind of like the Navy corpsman? He just has no desire to be around people.
It's not all that bad. A lot of them are, anything from minor depression, where they may only have an episode or two a month, to major depressive disorders where, they're depressed for extended periods of time, if not all the time. High levels of anxiety, high levels of anger management, high levels of impulsivity. And one of the things that, a lot of people don't like to talk about, and that's suicidal ideations. I mean, those are up.
Dave, don't you take that stuff seriously when somebody says, "Hey, I'm having some thoughts about taking my life"?
That's one you have to take serious anymore. Well, anytime, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
Definitely now, because there's so much.
But they're in so much pain on the inside. They're thinking, "There's no way out for me. I've got no options."
There is, and that's the thing about it is they don't look at it. So many of them don't look at it as if they're taking their life. They just look at it as a way to get rid of the pain.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they see, is they just want the pain to stop. And that's what we are able to do, is we're able to help them stop the pain.
That is amazing.
So.
And so you've got an option, you've got a tool here for somebody that has maybe some issues with either depression, anxiety, PTSD. By the way, you're not going to have to spend any of your energy describing if PTSD is real or not.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people, excuse me, that have had either a motor vehicle accident or a four-wheeler accident. Dave, they're just never the same after that. You know full well that caused significant damage to those regions of the brain that allow them to function in the real world.
And so many of them are. I mean, I've got one little girl. She's 10 years old now. When she was 7 years old, she fell off a slide. And fortunately, I guess, she...
Well, let me guess, she did not land on her feet.
She did not land on her feet. She wasn't a cat. She hit on her back on the ladder going down, and then she hit on the left occipital lobe of her skull and fractured her skull.
Oh,
and, of
man.
Course, they had the brain damage in the right front. But by the time they came to me, they were about 2 years post-concussion. And they had
spent, so that means this pattern of the concussion was kind of ingrained long before you came along.
It was set up. I mean, bless her heart, poor little girl, she was 9 years old. She wasn't quite 9 years old. She turned 9 while I was treating her. But when she came in, she was completely flat affect. She had no expression. She didn't smile.
I mean, what 9-year-old doesn't laugh and giggle and smile all the time? They're just playing nonstop.
Yeah.
So this little girl had no facial expressions.
She had no expression. She rarely talked. She couldn't do her schoolwork. She was homeschool. She had no life left.
What was the mom dealing with, going like, why is this child not like the other children?
Well, she kind of understood, but at the same time, yeah, she's struggling to look for ways to find ways to help her baby. And for over a year and a half, all these specialists, nobody could help her.
And so the main issue was she had a concussion. She went to different physicians, probably neurologists. They probably did brain scans, MRIs, other tests.
CTs.
And they couldn't find, CT scans, but there was nothing they could find where they say, now that we know what the issue is, here's our course of action. Here's how we help the body heal from a traumatic brain injury.
Well, now what most of them tried to do was do it with medication.
And that could have been everything from antidepressants to seizure medications.
Yeah, who knows what.
But what you're saying is you offered her a different course of action than an antidepressant.
Yeah, and so, yes. And now I've been working with them for a little over a year. This little girl, she's precious as she can be. She smiles, she laughs, she giggles, she plays, she has fun. She gives me hugs. She comes in.
You mean somebody hugs a Marine gunny sergeant?
Yeah, I know. Go figure, right?
You have a soft heart, don't you?
I do for sweet little girls like that. But what was amazing, and I mean, Doc, this gets to be one. This is one of those stories that I get to carry with me for the rest of my life. That I was.
You got to feel good about this, one, buddy.
I mean, you do. You know, I was blessed enough to be given a way to help somebody like that, and that was a little girl that had no life left. And she wasn't even 9 years old. That's not a very bright outlook for your life.
Dave, the rest of her life now, she can function on a level that's going to allow her to function in a really tough world.
She is.
All because of these treatments.
Yeah. And that's what makes this really worth it, is I get to see things like that.
That's kind of like one of the best paychecks you can get of all time, isn't it?
It really is.
You get deep satisfaction because you know you did something to help your fellow man that was suffering.
That's
great.
And especially a young girl, you know, a little girl like that, that now she goes out and plays and has fun and stuff.
Right? And I don't want to be too distracted, but you know what? I remember years ago, Dave, and I'm sorry to interrupt your story, but I had this little girl that was hanging upside down from a clothesline. And what she did was, while she was hanging upside down, her legs slipped off, and she hit straight on the top of her head. It was like maybe in the wrestling world it'd be a pile driver or something like that.
Yeah.
But when I took the X-ray of the little girl, she had a fractured vertebrae, and I'm going, oh my goodness. And so I don't know how high up she was, but I'm going to guess she was a couple, 3 feet off the ground. But it doesn't always take a 40-foot fall to cause a concussion or a brain injury, does it?
No, it definitely does not. And that's why I was saying, you know, sometimes, you know, you can have little bits of brain damage just from jumping off the wall that's only a couple, 2 or 3 feet high.
Dave, I'm not so sure that you don't get a similar damage pattern of, or it's not the same as a concussion. But could you imagine somebody that's involved, like in a relationship where it's very abusive and they kind of get used to being beat down all the time? You can't tell me those regions of the brain don't react in a similar fashion.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a really tough one. I've dealt with a number of folks that have dealt with abuse as they were growing up, mental, physical, and emotional abuse.
I mean, I saw a woman the other day. She had a bloody left eye, and she had a big mark on the bridge of her nose and her forehead. And I could look, and I could say, man, somebody beat her. And then, of course, I always think those people suck that would do that.
Yeah.
But you know, but what is she left to do with? I mean, what does a person do when they've been in a bad pattern like that? But this device, you said a while ago, this iAssist microcurrent device, that what it can do is it can help renormalize normal brain waves and brain function.
It does. And that's kind of healing the brain, healing, you know, getting the brain back into a pattern of firing correctly.
I think I like that, back into a pattern of firing correctly.
Yeah, and when it fires correctly, I mean, it's just like the body when it works right. You know, when the brain is working right and the body's working right, things just flow a lot
well,
better.
Well, you know, the old phrase, that person's not operating on all eight cylinders.
Yeah,
and you think, you know, even if you're driving your vehicle and you have one cylinder out of eight that's misfiring,
yeah,
that whole engine is like...
It's like rocking and
shaking. Oh, it
and
shakes the entire vehicle, doesn't it?
It does. But that's, and so, yeah, you know, apply that same concept to, you know, to the body, only now, you know, we've got more than one cylinder that's not firing right, and so we're really chugging along and having problems.
Dave, I would imagine the vast majority of these people that have these injuries or they have anxiety or depression, they're probably self-medicating with things like alcohol and probably sugar too.
A lot of them are, and you know, that's one of the issues. You know, you've talked a lot about... over the years, how to eat better and what not to eat. And of course, sugar is one of those things. And yeah, what I had this study, and I gave you a little copy of it, is how the ketogenic diet could reduce the impact of PTSD has on a sufferer's body. And
now, how would you describe a ketogenic diet?
Well, it's high protein and healthy fats, and you know, you've got to get some.
You mean you're not giving the body a bowl of frosted,
yeah, frosted
Fruit Loops?
Mini wheats or Fruit
Yeah.
Loops.
Yeah.
And no, we're kind of avoiding those kinds of things. But you know, and that's one thing I notice about me, is that as long as I stay away from large amounts of sugar or even mm-hmm. you know, medium amounts of sugar, I do really well.
I mean, if you had just a smidgen of sugar every so often, because the way you roll, you don't eat sugar every day, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, I really don't. But when somebody puts a banana pudding or something like that in front of me, you know, then that, you know, they're twisting my arm.
Do you ever say, get behind me, Satan, when that happens?
Oh, you don't? If I did that, somebody take my banana pudding.
Oh, so you have okay.
Yeah.
Dave, I know this sounds unusual, but I know kind of one of the directions that we're probably going with this, that a high carbohydrate diet, even that would probably make it tougher for your microcurrent treatment to work to its full efficiency. But when somebody had like a higher fat diet, and I know this sounds weird, but the brain, the brain and the heart, two of the organs that generate the most electrical activity in the entire body, they can function just fine on fat. They don't have to have carbohydrates. It's almost their preferred form of fuel to run the engines of the brain.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that a lot of that goes back to that gut-brain connection, and how a healthy diet and a healthy gut, all of that combined. I mean, I guess the body is you know, a unit that needs to function as one, and everything's got to be working right, and we've got to fuel it right for it to work right.
You know, I have a lot of interests, but I find learning so fascinating. But the Roman legions, you know, thousands of years ago, they were so disciplined that they completely worked as one unit when they went into battle, and that made them almost undefeatable.
Yeah.
Now, if they broke ranks and did what they wanted to, they'd probably end up a great defeat.
Yeah, well, and that's the way, you know, when you're in the military, that's what you train for. Everybody trains to work together. You know,
well, you have to, and what you're talking about is how do we get the body and the brain to work together
to work
as a team?
To work together, to work as one, and that's what we're doing.
Would you believe me if I told you that 95% of all serotonin, that's the neurotransmitter, when you have plenty of it, you start thinking, man, everything is going great today. I'm going to be happy. This is going to be smooth. But boy, howdy, if you have a lack of serotonin production in your gut, and it's got to be produced in the gut and then transported to the brain so it can do what it does on the brain cells. But if somebody had low serotonin, Dave, they're gonna wake up in the morning going, oh, today is not going to go well.
Did I have to get up today?
Did I have to get up? Is there a black cloud? You know, yeah. And everything tends to be pre-negative as opposed to you tend to look at things from a more positive point of view. But this relationship between the gut and the brain, so if a person consumes high amounts of sugar, they're kind of asking to interrupt that serotonin pathway to the brain.
They're asking for a lot of problems, yes. But yeah, that's definitely one of the things that they're doing. And it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Dave, I'm almost positive you've seen this before. You have to take people where they are, right?
Yeah.
You can't just go in there and say, hey, you're evil if you drink 25 Dr. Peppers a day. That doesn't work. They got to come to their own conclusion. But I bet you've seen people that had such issues with anxiety and depression that you said, okay, here's a starting point. And you do your ISS microcurrent stimulator, and all of a sudden they come back to you and they say, hey, Dave, this is real weird. I am not craving sugar like I used to before.
I have gotten that.
Yeah,
I have gotten that.
So you heal one area and it helps
and
the rest of the body.
It helps the rest of them too, yeah. and I guess that's one of the things, because I mean, sugar, basically, it's an addiction. I mean, you know, it tastes good, and it, you know, for a few minutes, it makes you feel good.
Well, shouldn't that be regulated by the government as a addictive substance, like other things?
Yeah, well.
No, I'm only joking.
No. We've talked about stuff like that before.
There's plenty of things that you can go buy as much as you want, but it's just horrible for your body.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, getting the diet straightened out, you know, and working with us on the ISIS, and you know, working on just strengthening and making the body healthy, all of those things work together to help us function and do the things that we were created to do.
And each one of them plays a specific role that nothing else can replicate.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, if I asked you, where's your greatest confidence lie over the last few years of administering these treatments to people with issues related to maybe poor brain function or anxiety or PTSD, if you had to have one type of person walk in your door and say, hey, Dave, I'm really curious what your thoughts are on this topic, what is the one that you look at and you go, man, I really think I can help this person? Or label it, or yeah, bring it down to like your top three.
You know, probably the three that I look at the most are depression, anxiety, and maybe chronic pain or insomnia.
Now, what do you mean by chronic pain?
Chronic pain, things like insomnia.
You're talking about people, they have this pain that never goes away, and their sleep patterns are the pits, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but one of your clients called me on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say her name, but she told me, she says, Dr. Morgan, I've had decades of rotten sleep. I can't sleep at night. And I want to say she just had one treatment, and all of a sudden it was, now obviously everybody's wired differently, but for her, dude, it just took one treatment, and she said, Dr. Morgan, I can sleep throughout the night.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, she started sleeping better. I think we ended up doing about 6.
I think her name begins with a letter S, yeah, but we don't need to say it. What type of soil do you have at your house?
I live in a hayfield. So.
You're supposed to say sandy.
Yeah, anyway, it is sandy. But, oh, I got
no,
you.
No, I'm just joking. Yeah. Bad joke. So when somebody comes in and they say, and you know what, Dave, you're right, you're spot on, because if you had to pick one way to just totally wear the brain or the body down, it'd be pain that never goes away.
Oh, yeah.
It's exhausting mentally, isn't it?
It's exhausting. It's just flat out exhausting, yes. I mean,
well, you
I
just
lived
said yourself
for years.
Yeah, you just said yourself you were forgetting everything and you had to give up your job.
Yeah.
How many concussions have you had? Am I not supposed to answer that question?
Y'all
can't see his facial expression right now.
I literally have no clue. I know as a kid growing up, I had at least three or four that were pretty serious because I lost consciousness.
Oh, you were knocked out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those are real significant.
Yeah, and then I had others. In 20 years of fighting in martial arts, I've obviously had a few more. And so
I don't know if people know this, but I have never tried to sneak up behind you and grab you from behind. There's a good reason.
But you know, it's hard on your psyche. It's hard to keep your motivation up, to keep your, you know, to keep from falling into that state of depression.
Oh man.
And when I went to this, I mean, my sleep pattern was like 2 or 3 hours a night. I would be driving up 69 going to Tyler and wake up driving in the ditch.
And you had no recollection of when you dropped off?
Yeah.
Or dozed off?
No.
That is like one scary deal.
That was scary. So,
let me know the next time you're driving to... No, wait, you're fixed now. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. But yeah, and that was the cool thing was after my first session... I woke up the next morning. I was just like,
"What's the deal here?
What happened here?" Yeah, I felt great. I actually slept all night,
and that was without a drug of any kind.
No drugs, and that was the amazing thing because the only way, if I wanted to get any sleep before, I would have to take some kind of a medication, and I rarely did. But you know, sometimes you just get to the point where
you're so desperate, you're going, "Man, I can't. I'm exhausted. I'm bone weary, tired."
Yeah.
I got to have an hour of sleep.
Exactly. And so that was one of the things that just absolutely amazed me about this was how I slept. And so, you know, we need that kind of sleep. In fact, we sleep in three of our brain waves, beta, theta, and delta. Beta is where we drift off and wake up. Theta is our REM sleep, where we dream. But the delta wave sleep is where the body and the brain begin to heal. And
that's
the sleep that we need to heal.
But if you're sleeping just an hour a night, Dave, you're not getting to the delta wave.
You're not even getting to the theta, to the REM sleep. You're just hanging out in that beta wave sleep, and it's not enough for the body to get any rest. So you know the body is just deteriorating, you know, on a daily basis. You're just going downhill, and it's a hard way to live. It's hard on the body. It's hard on every aspect of your life, and so. How can you support your family or be a part of your family when that's the kind of life that you have?
Well, if all the kids and the wife or the husband is walking around on eggshells going, okay, I wonder when she's going to blow her top over this, or I wonder when dad's going to... I mean, Dave, I've told you like a little bit. My dad was a drug salesman for Abbott Laboratories for like 30 years, and so... That was a whole different era. So he actually had his briefcase. He had samples of all the drugs. But there were two drugs that he became very fond of. One of them was called neosinephrine. It was almost like methamphetamines you'd snort in your nose. And so you can realize how addictive that would be.
Yeah.
And the other one was a drug called Placidil. And I don't know if that drug's still available, but Dave, it does things to the brain where you see things that aren't real. But I remember watching my father when we lived in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, fall over backwards, and he hit this Spanish tile mortared floor, yeah. And you know how bad the brain how the head blood is everywhere.
Yeah.
And that was just incredible. But it took a while to get him off that one drug because it had completely rewired his brain toward heavy, heavy addiction. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, when someone has an addiction, and I'm just going to give you a couple examples. I mean, the common ones would be alcohol. Now, I don't need to tell you this, but if you want to wreck the brain and the body, alcohol is a really great way to destroy it. It'll destroy it if you do enough of it. But what about addictions and using this iAssist device?
We've been able to help folks with addictions. I've only worked with a couple of folks with addictions, and
when you say addictions, do you mean to alcohol or a drug?
One was alcohol, and one was drugs. And the one with alcohol, we were able to help her. The one with drugs, I don't think I was able to help them, but I think they were being self-destructive in that as soon as we would finish the treatment, they would go out and smoke a joint or go back to the drugs. So I think
the lady that had the alcohol issues, did she ever report back to you and say, "Dave, this is really, really weird. I no longer really have the same desire for alcohol like I did before."
Yeah, I still see
her. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, cool.
I still see her about every couple of months or so. And it's not for alcohol, it's for some other issues.
Yeah, but she's any time that a human being decides they want to do something to help themselves, they're voting to improve their health.
Yes.
And you know, that's the way I like it, because every single person that's listening this morning, they gotta have a mindset, I gotta be my own best advocate, so if I have a problem, I need to actually seek a remedy, or if there's a family member because they're in a bad place. Maybe a family member could call and say, "Hey, do you know about a treatment for my son or daughter?" Or something like that.
And if we don't advocate for our health or for our family's health, then who's going to? I mean...
Well, at least there's some people that care enough to help the Navy corpsman.
Yeah, but they, you know, and even at that, though, you know, they've got to seek it. They've got to want it. They've got to want to get the help and then come and look for it.
But it's just as simple as asking.
Yeah.
Like, if they called you on the phone and said, "Hey, Dave, I got this issue. I'm not sure if you can help me." What is wrong with them running by what their issue is and then you responding like, "Yes, I feel confident," or "No, that's really outside the realm of what I do"?
Yeah, and that's generally how a lot of my conversations go. You know, people will tell me the issues that they're dealing with, and I'll say, yeah.
Personally, I think that's good. That's the first step, because if somebody expresses they want to help themselves, then we're rolling in the right direction.
Well, they've taken more than the first step.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to get to that recovery.
And they're asking for help when they say that.
Exactly. And so, you know, we do that. And, you know, we talked about strokes. I'm working with a guy right now that had a stroke. And, when he told me how long it had been since he had his stroke, he'd been a year and a half post-stroke. And I told him, I said, "Yeah, I don't..."
When you say a year and a half post-stroke, Dave, are you saying that maybe he hadn't seen the progress or the repair to his brain that he'd hoped to see?
Well, right. And he still had left side paralysis, you know, or some left side paralysis. You know, he had the droop on the left side of the face. His speech was affected by it. His thought pattern was affected by it, and I told him, I said, "As far out as you are from your stroke, I'm not going to hold my breath on this one. I don't know."
Well, you told him, "I'm not going to make any guarantees, right, but if you're willing to try, I'm willing to try."
And so we have been making a little bit of progress. In fact, right off the bat, in his face, we got the droop out of his face. He was able to speak clearly, and
that's called neural regeneration.
Yeah, and he's processing things now a lot better in his thought process.
Man.
So, you know,
would you mind if I ask how old is the gentleman?
He is.
You sound to be perfect.
Yeah, I think he was a couple years older than I am. I think he's like 68
like,
or 69.
Like 45?
Yeah, no.
I would. Like 65?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I think he was like 68 or 69, somewhere
okay,
along
gotcha.
In there. I mean, for somebody to have a stroke at that age, I think, you know, there
Dave,
was a lot going on there.
Every single day, I could probably look at a story on the news feed about a young person having a stroke.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I keep thinking, Roy, I don't remember reading these stories, you know, 35 years ago. But anything can happen. You could even have a young person have a stroke when they're like 18 years old.
Yeah.
I've even read stories where even babies in the womb can have strokes.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is.
Well, not amazing in that sense, but that's just like, I wouldn't think it.
Yeah, you wouldn't think something like that would be happening. But yeah, we, you know, we've been able to help him.
Well, Dave, you either do something positive to help the brain repair itself. What good does doing nothing do?
Yeah, that... Well, and that doesn't do anything for you. And in fact, if you do nothing, if you try absolutely nothing, then you're going to continue to lose whatever you have left at this particular time, because it's only going to get worse.
Okay, so the brain, when I was in school, Dave, we were taught in the neurology classes the brain does not rejuvenate once it's damaged. Oh my word, that is so not true.
No,
but
it's not.
But see, that's good that we've learned that you can rejuvenate the brain.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that this does, and that's one of the things they found out in some of these studies that they were doing, is, you know, we can't remember things because we lose that connection in the brain. That synapsis, that connection is no longer there. For some reason, it's broken, it's not working. We don't have that connection anyway.
So what are we going to do? What can we do to restore that connection?
What can we do to restore that connection? Well, that's one of the things that this does. Now, if it can't repair that connection, it will reroute the connection around that break and reconnect it in a different way. So I'm like,
you mean it might tap into unused parts of the brain to regain that ability?
It's amazing. I mean, you know, when God created the brain, it's absolutely amazing what the brain is capable of, and we still don't have a good grasp of what the brain is really all about.
I can tell you right now, if somebody's had a brain injury, if they can tap into the idea that I can get through this, that's the start right there.
A positive attitude is always
it is
start.
Everything,
yeah.
Isn't it? Because
yes.
If you're positive, you're willing to even keep pressing on, even though you might see all the progress you want to see after 1 week of effort.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, we tell folks, I said, you know, especially for this little girl that fell off the slide, I said, this is a long process because there's a lot of damage to the brain, you know, and it's been sitting there. By the time I started seeing her, she was not quite 2 years post concussion. She was a little less than that, but her brain had been damaged for a long time.
Dave, what would it be like if you left a bone in a bad position from a fracture for 2 years?
Yeah, I'm sure that wouldn't go well.
Or what if there was like a hemorrhage in the liver and it was torn in half? After 2 years, you're going, okay.
Yeah, okay, we got a problem here. Yeah.
We got a problem. But your point is, the sooner that you start these treatments and therapies when somebody's had a neurological injury, obviously, things are going to bode much better for them if they can participate sooner rather than later.
Right, especially, you know, in any kind of a physical trauma to the brain. And actually, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a physical or an emotional trauma. The sooner you get to an injury, the more chances we're going to have of getting it healed.
I think that's why in India they've used $1.25 worth of ivermectin. But they've also trained people, if you'll start taking it now, at the very start of you having a fever or feeling scratchy in your throat, that's the way it's going to work. Not 4 weeks later when they're on a ventilator and they can't breathe on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know. We seem to be self-destructive a lot of times.
Yeah, but see, at least you're offering an option to people, like, what can I do to help myself? And this is one of the ways that you can help reestablish normal conductivity of the brain cells.
Absolutely. And again, you know, going back to, you know, the brain health, you know, and when you've got a healthy brain and a good attitude about things, then that can change, you know, physically that can help change your body.
Oh, my goodness. If somebody makes progress, what are you going to do with that? You're going to say, way to go. Keep it up. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Because you can't take that away from them. If they go, hey, Dave, you don't even know what this is like to be inside of my brain, but I'm 6 months out from getting the treatments, and I'm a brand new person.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, too, is a lot of these folks, when they come back and they're telling me about, you know, the people around them, and the people around them going, what's up with you? What are you doing? You're different.
You mean they're observing a new person?
They are, and sometimes they're a little bit leery, and they're not sure if they want to, you know, approach them or not, because now, you know, they've gone from this, you know, attack mode, so to speak, to, you know, being a lot more laid back.
Oh, so they can let their guard down around the person with PTSD because they're no longer reactive.
They are. And so some of these people are a little leery of that. And then, you know, eventually they see that it's real and it's more long-term. And so,
Dave, I love that scripture in Romans chapter 12. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
There's a lot to that right there.
So where do people come to when they come and get a treatment from you? Do they go here to Jacksonville? Or
I've got I've got a I work at the, out at this store at Breaking Bread.
But that's your store, right?
That's my store. So I work out.
So you're the one responsible for trying to give people healthy foods to eat. Oh, great.
I kind of am. Yeah, I guess so.
Do they come in and look for supplements also so they can improve themselves?
Yeah. But I work out of the store here. But we've also got an office in Tyler at Camp V.
And now, what is Camp V?
Camp V is a kind of a one-stop shop for veterans to get, I guess, to kind of get plugged back in to find services, you know, whether it's talking to a veteran service officer to get their VA disabilities, you know, things going to.
But this is the actual physical location in Tyler?
Yeah.
Where is it located?
I think it's 2919 Front Street. It's
downtown.
Oh, well, not quite downtown. Or is it Front Street?
Yeah, yes, Front. Well, okay. What couple of?
It's right off the loop.
Of the
West Loop. You know, there's that little shopping center, and then there's a school, and then there's Camp V.
Okay. My mind was in a total different position than yours.
On the other side?
Yeah, I was on the other side.
But no, that's where it is, and it's like 20 or 24 acres, something like that. It's a pretty nice complex. I've got big plans for it, so
cool. Hopefully
it'll all work out.
But you have your store and your office here in Jacksonville.
And then we've got the office there, and then I have a partner who has an office in Longview. Lisa is my partner over there. She has an office in Longview, and she has her master's in nursing. And that means
she's one smart cookie,
that means,
right?
She's kind of smart, yeah. So we have, you know, it's almost like the Abbott and Costello thing going on in our business. You know, we have the smart one and then
who's
the other
on first?
One but yeah, and Lisa's finishing up. She starts her clinicals in January, but she's finishing up getting her nurse practitioner's license.
Oh, how good for her!
Yeah, so that's going to be kind of cool there. But so we have a good bit of East Texas covered with three offices here. So
you have made yourself available, and of course today you're just kind of giving a little bit of an overview on what you're doing. But you're offering this might be a treatment that might benefit a lot of people.
It can definitely benefit a lot of people.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Absolutely.
Have you ever done this treatment on somebody that you considered like really exceptional and they got it all together just to see what would happen?
I did one on you.
Oh.
Well, I did a couple of them. I guess, yeah. Don't
yeah, but Dave, together, but. I think I rank up there with you. I think I've been knocked out, what is it, like four times, and I'm going, I can't afford to have one more concussion.
But, yeah. Now, I mean, so that's, you know, and actually that's a good question, because even people that seem to have it all together, you know, a lot of times they kind of tend to lose their focus. And in fact, when you talk about losing your focus, that's one of the things that a lot of folks, when they're recovering from COVID, one of the problems that they have is they have trouble bringing everything back into focus. They seem to be kind of scatterbrained, so to speak. I know I had one little kid, he's 9 years old now. He had COVID last year. And when he went back to school, he started coming home with all this homework, and he'd never had homework before. So his mom,
so something different.
Yeah, something was different. So his mom called the school and, you know, just asked him, so, you know, why is he all of a sudden having
homework? Yeah, what's the deal?
You know, is it him? Is it, you know, is he just getting more homework? And his teacher said he just doesn't seem to be able to focus or concentrate.
So he's not doing his work at school when he's supposed to, so he's got to take it home. Oh, boy.
And so as soon as his mom told me that, I said, well, I can fix that. And so we did.
Yeah, Dave, sorry.
Yeah,
I think we're
right.
Just about out of time. That hour went by
it
real
fast,
didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but thank you so much for coming today, and I appreciate your heart and wanting to try to help people. You have this diabolical plot to trick people into getting well, don't you?
I kind of do.
Oh, man.
But they got to call me to get there. So.
What's your phone number?
903-530-7704.
And you have a health food store here in Jacksonville called Breaking Bread.
Breaking Bread.
And so you have a lot of things that people might want to come and check out, right?
I do.
Dave, thank you so much. May the Lord bless the listeners of this radio station. And I hope and pray that everybody has a great weekend. Thanks again, buddy.
Thanks, Doc.